longer function as human beings, either with or without drugs. We all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative, either go on as best we can to the bitter end, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in history, a simple way has been proven itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thank you. All right, son, I'd like to introduce our first speaker. He's from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, from the Rootwood area. I happen to have known him and grown up with him, and I also know that he is definitely about recovery. So if nothing further, I'm going to give you Harvey D. From the back.
Hi, family. My name is Harvey, and I'm an addict. Just as a matter of habit, can we have another moment of silence and the serenity prayer to reopen this thing up so I can become less, and the principles and the God of my understanding can become more in me. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Again, my name is Harvey, and I'm an addict. And it truly is a magnificent day to be clean and to be at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. I'd like to thank the Laurel Highlands area for seeing enough in me and listening enough to God, the God in me, to invite me to share my experience, strength, and hope. I'm out of my comfort zone, right? And I find myself up here shaking a little bit. It's step 10 and it's self-honesty. I need to get something out of the way right off the bat. Staying clean must come first. Anything that I'm going to talk about or anything that comes out of me is as a direct result of the program of Narcotics Anonymous and just not taking nothing. On any given day for me, it's about just not taking nothing. You know, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what, just not taking nothing. Look, I believe in sponsorship. I believe in the literature. I'm not going to apologize for the literature. I'm not going to apologize for Polly parroting it. See, because y'all told me when I first got here that my best thinking got me up in here. My most clever ideals got me here. So what y'all told me was that recovery is going to be easy. But I had to change everything. Y'all said it was an active change. I had to change my ideals, attitudes, and my behaviors. I even had to change the way I talked. See, I talked myself into some shit. And if anybody's like real sensitive, because I'm at a spiritual retreat, right? And I'm like, I'm driving. I'm like, I'm coming, God. I'm coming, God. But what I know is that I have a personal relationship with Him. You know what I mean? And the God that I understand, because y'all see it, the God of my understanding. You know, He dealt me like this unmerited favor, this thing called grace. Right? That when I was trying to kill myself at the end of the road, because it was fun in the beginning, right? You know, I couldn't see the progression. And I was caught up in that instant gratification thing. Our literature in the third step talks about I was dominated by the need for instant gratification. whole body, mind, and thinking was like dominated by. It was fun in the beginning. And then the euphoria wore off. And I began to see the ugly side of my behavior. Here's the hit. Once the drug was gone, I was still dominated by that need for instant gratification, seeking it any way I could. If it was up inside of a woman, I was looking for it. If it was in some money, I was looking for it. If it was in some clothes, but here's the hit. I got all of that stuff and then the euphoria wore off. I'm like, shit. Baby, I gotta go. This relationship just ain't working out. You know what I mean? I bought some clothes and shit, and by the time I got them home, I didn't like them. You know, I'm looking for that hit. I'm like, okay, God, if you could just answer this prayer. And like, what I do know is that God is the God of my understanding. It's not an instant gratification kind of God. Unless he gives it to me, and then he takes it away, and then he says, now what? You know what I mean? Like when I put down the drug, right? See, I'm not dealing, for the newcomer, I'm not dealing with chemical dependency anymore. The drug is gone, right? So the longer I stay clean, the more I find out why I got high in the first place. The more I find out that the disease was present way before I picked up the drug. You know, that motherfucker's with me 24 hours a day. And it just don't... Look, let me get something straight. I got to tell myself my story. See, because I'll embellish some shit with y'all. You know, I need to tell y'all about the stuff that don't nobody know about but me and God, because I need to get freed up here. You know, I didn't drive all the way up here to entertain y'all. I drove up here to get another day clean. You know, it was like when I was driving a car. See, I would say drive, but most of the time I was fucking walking. And when I was walking, I was looking on the ground. Hoping I could find something. You know, I like the trick because misery loved company, right? The only thing about it was is that when I brought her there and I told her I wanted to do some things to her while I was taking a hit, after the first hit, unless her damn body was on the floor, all bets was off. Look, I was the type of addict that would be picking on the floor so much. I'm going to get to step 10, okay? I'd be picking on the floor so much that they would steal my crap and then an hour later sell it back to me. And I'd gladly buy that shit. You know what I mean? I'm talking about like letting y'all know the exact nature of who I am. Because what I do know is that whether I let y'all know or not, when the truth shows up, all falsehood abandons. And the truth don't need no justification from me. You know, if I'm one bad decision away from looking on this floor for some shit, and I never got high. I never got high up here, right? Our literature says in Narcotics Anonymous, we deal with every aspect of our addiction, not just the most obvious symptoms, our uncontrollable drug use, right? The aspects of our disease are numerous. By practicing this program, we each discover the ways in which it affects us personally. You know what I mean? I ain't got time to care about who you fucking, how much, what you wearing, who you caught from, where you from. All I want to know is what your problem is and how I can help. Look, it says we take a, step 10 says we take a continuous personal inventory. And when we were wrong, we promptly admit it. Look, I'm talking about continuous. It means I got to look at the part I play in everything I do. And I better work the first 9 before I jump into 10. You know what I mean? Because if I don't, my ass will be back out there like, look, my mother's dead. I want to give y'all, I want to give y'all something. I want to give y'all the gift of part of my daily pain. You know, because what I do know is, although I don't have to exist in the guilt and shame of my past will not go away. And on any given day, any given moment, I'll think about, like, my mom, who was, like, dying from stage 4 cancer, right? And she had wrote this will. And while she was dying, I was, like, robbing her ass blind. You know, and I was like, here's the hit. I was hoping she died so I could get what she was going to donate me in the will. You know, so she died. And on the way to the funeral, I had, like, these rocks in my pocket, right? And, like, I couldn't wait for the funeral to be over so I could get high. I'm talking about going to the graveyard and not knowing where my mother was buried, because I was out of there before the funeral was over. Look, I got to live with that shit. What I do know is I'll recover what God intends for me to recover. Some shit I'm just going to lose. Some shit I will never recover back. I will never recover that part of my dignity and what God intended me to be as a son, because I turned my will and my life over to the care of Christ as I understood. Look, we ain't talking about the substance. Christ was just what I did. But on any given day, whatever you had was what I would participate in. And I would manipulate your ass and let you manipulate me, and it'd be on. Look, different persons, different places, different situations, different circumstances. One constant, me. Me. I can no longer blame my present condition on my past circumstances. You know what I mean? It says in our literature, eventually if we work the steps, we'll stop becoming the person we invented and start being the person that we really are. Look, in our fifth step it talks about hiding. Like I appear to be like this real confident, suave, debonair kind of guy, right? But really inside, I'm hiding the shaky, insecure person. Look, y'all see, this was an ego deflating thing, program. So I thank God that I left my ego back in Pittsburgh. So when I got up there, y'all said, "Ooh, Harvey, you going to speak. Really, inside of me, the little boy was saying, tell him to shut up. Because you might disappoint him. Look, if I could help any one person here, any one person get another day clean, then I did what God wanted me to do. Look. I take a continuous inventory, right? I look at the shit that's inside of me. And there's a pamphlet that talks about working the program, and it has a list of questions. Today I practice, like I practice looking for when I was wrong, but more importantly, not setting myself up for situations where I gotta apologize to y'all's asses. You know, it says that we need to avoid the traps that we set for ourselves. You know what I mean? That cuts y'all right away. Because I don't know about y'all, but I was a professional fucking victim. I did some shit because you made me. You made me do this. You on your period, you made me go out and I can't say sleep with nobody else, right? I was fucking. Look, I need to get to the exact nature of my wrong. I'm not talking about what I did, but I'm talking about my motives and my intentions behind them. You know what I mean? I'm talking about fear, the need for instant gratification. I'm talking about insecurities. I'm talking about fear of losing something that I never had or getting something that I never was going to possess anyway. I'm talking about holding on to insecurities, resentments, anger, fear, and not letting them go, right? Because there's a certain familiarity and familiar pain, right? Returning to the source of that shit, seeking a distorted sense of comfort. And then once I get what I want, I'm talking about, I'm sorry. That ain't promptly admitting I'm wrong. That's promptly admitting that I might do the shit again. You know what I'm saying? It says that I need to quit taking the bait that I put out there for myself. You know, and that I get gut level honest with me. And you know, I love those indispensables, right? I love them. That honesty, that open-mindedness, and that willingness. That willingness to stay clean and undress myself in front of y'all, no matter what y'all think about me. Right? Because at the end of the day, I ain't stuck in some motherfucking bathroom. You know what I mean? I ain't trying to wash that crap look off my face. I'm talking about not jumping in on some open-ended shit. Look, if I can't do it, I can't do it. You know, my daughter has, and I love the shit out of Jasmine, but she had a baby at 18. And I told her I would support her. So her and my ex-wife, right? Her mother, and I emphasize ex-wife, you know, because she said it's not shit, right? Her ass escaped while getting was good, because I was a fucking terrorist, you know? So they're talking about, oh, granddad's going to come get the baby. He's going to come get Ariel. I said, when I'm ready, because I'm no longer going to let your guilt and shame paint me into a corner where I can't come out clean. You know, placing some unrealistic expectations on me. You know, promote myself to my level of incompetence. You know, just because I'm saying yes when I really want to say no. Check this out. Step 10 to me today is taking ownership of my shit. Look, I worked the 4-step. I ain't afraid of y'all. I worked the 6-step. I can separate my shit from y'all. But do I get so self-righteous that I appoint myself as some fucking moral compass to tell you when you're wrong? Fuck it. Just don't get high. And keep coming back, right? And keep coming back. We're going to work some shit out. You know what I mean? Am I going to hold you and hug you when you come back up in here stinking, talking about I relapsed and you only been in the program 2 days? Fuck yeah, I am. As a matter of fact, let me tell you this. If I give you my number and you out there using, like, here's a pet peeve. Motherfuckers talking about me. Don't call me after you got high. Right? Call me before you get high. Who's the last motherfucker I called before I was getting ready to burn that fire? You know what I'm saying? Look, I don't give a fuck what it is. Call me in the middle of getting high. I'll fuck your high up. Look, in a loving and caring way. You know, talking about when the pain of remaining the same, right? Right? When the pain outweighs the fear of change, right? Then your ass will do something. And I'll welcome you with open arms. Because what I do know is that the disease of addiction is a bad motherfucker. It won't come up to Harvey today and say, you just shared the 10th step. Let's smoke some crack. Right? Why don't you take this drink, right? It ain't going to show up like that. It'll get me halfway down the highway and the phone will ring. Right? And she'll be saying like, Daddy, 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 you know? See, like inside that 10th step, right, they call it the maintenance step. Maintenance steps, right? My sponsor said, baby, you on your own now. It doesn't mean he doesn't help me. It just means that I need to claim responsibility for my recovery. I need to sign that motherfucker and say it's mine. You know, no longer do I need to act like being an addict is a life sentence, right? You know, it's a fucking diagnosis. You don't hear somebody walk up and talk about, can you let me have something free because I suffer from asthma? Look. It says, when I'm wrong, I promptly admit it. Check this out. It's a hard ass piece. Admitting when you're wrong when you usually intend to be right. Okay. That's what our literature says. I said, shit. You know what I mean? It's like, I got to come face to face with my shortcomings, right? I got to come face to face with the fact that the God of my understanding ain't going to take all the motherfuckers away. He might sit them on the shelves. And look, I ain't going to ask him to take them all away. Because there's some stuff that feels really good. You know what I mean? Look, I'll deal with the apology and the promptly admitting when I'm wrong later. Right? Because I ain't working on no character and no integrity. Right? I'm not working on what is God's will for me. What I'm doing is I'm praying to myself. I'm not praying for the knowledge of God's will. I'm praying to tell God what I think His will should be. I better be praying for the knowledge of some self-discipline and self-restraint. That's what I better be praying for. Don't come up to me and ask me to pray for something that you want. Because it might not be God's will. And then you're going to come back to me and say, didn't you pray for me? Sure. No. I prayed that God's will be done in your life. And what I do know about God's will is that whatever we're working on in this program, situations will arise that will make me have to deal with those issues. You know what I mean? Look, I've been dealing with trying to be honest and truthful. And the phone rang the other day. I was talking about this shit at the door. You know, there were some situations. I picked up the phone. I said, who is it? It said, it's the truth. The truth. I'm like, I'm not ready for you yet. Well, guess what? I'm here, right? I'm here. You know what I mean? I'm talking about like confronting me. It talks about the 10th step. It's a tireless chore. We might feel like it's a tireless chore because we already even did some shit in the 4th step, right? But it says that the 4th step and the 10th step, it corrects the present living problems. You know what I mean? I'm not just taking an inventory today. Like an inventory tells me what's inside of me. I know what's inside of me. But I'm getting on a deeper level now where I start doing the self-appraisal, right? Where I start to find out the value of what's in me. You know what I mean? Because what I do know is if one behavior is removed, then I better be careful with what it's replaced with. I'm talking about, and I'm not religious, but just for the sake of this, replacing one sin with another. I ain't gonna fuck no more married women, but I'm gonna still be a whore. I'm gonna quit stealing from the stores, but it's all right to take some shit from work. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna lie no more to your face, but what I'm gonna do is not tell you the truth. It's gonna be a lie of omission, right? I'm talking about the 4th and the 10th step introducing me to me. And who I really am. And on any given day, the extent of my shortcomings, just extremes are removed. Just extremes. So, for instance, if I'm a leader, right, and I'm using that leadership ability to abuse people, what God will do for me is remove the part that I abuse people with and leave the leadership ability there again. But like, what I got to do is turn some shit over, right? The will of my will and my life over. But see, that's just surface shit, right? Newcomer, please know, if you're on the third step, it's okay to turn your will and your life over. But y'all said it gets greater later, and what I understand is everything gets greater later. The challenges get greater. You know, the temptation gets greater. The complacency gets greater. You know what I mean? My promptly's turn into, look, I apologize, I won't do it again. That's promptly right now, but my promptly's will change. And it might take me 4 or 5 days to come up to you and say some shit. Right? So what I have found out was when I turn my will and my life over, when I turn some people over, what it'll look like to me, it'll look like to you that I don't care, and it'll feel like to me that I don't care. It'll look like I don't care, and it'll feel like I don't care. Because God got it. Well, don't you care about my baby bad? Yeah, but the last time I checked, you didn't call for permission to go fucking get pregnant from me. Oh, that's cold. Yeah, at some point, I'm going to have to get cold in my recovery. After doing wrong for so long, thinking it's right, when I start doing right, it'll feel wrong. And I got to stay in there long enough until wrong begins to feel right. And I start walking in integrity and character. And my no's mean no, and my yeses mean yes. You know, anything below that. See, because there's something about being stuck when you got the crack pipe and you can't move. But shit, get stuck when the drug ain't here. I'm talking about holding on and trying to let go at the same time. You know, I'm talking about not returning to the source of familiar pain, but never leaving that motherfucker, right? Because we're a great one for manipulating the truth. I got it. That's my side. Let me read y'all something. It really is a beautiful place up here. You know, I was like, almost 6 years clean, right? And have never been to a spiritual retreat. Shit, my imagination's a bad boy. I expected there to be little fairies dancing around. You know, all that shit. What the fuck y'all doing up here with titties and shit, right? Look, we continued to take a personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted. Recovery in Narcotics Anonymous is about learning how to live, incorporating the spiritual principles we have learned in the first 9 steps into our lives has made it possible to live in harmony with ourselves and others. Self-examination, confronting what we find wrong in ourselves, and owning up to our wrongs are critical elements of conducting our lives on a spiritual basis. By working the 10th step, we become more aware of our emotions, our mental state, and our spiritual condition. As we do, we find ourselves constantly rewarded with fresh insight. Like, check this out, as a result of having a spiritual awakening from working these steps, it's a pleasure and it's a privilege to own my stuff. And to be able to share it with y'all that somebody might have got helped up in here. My name is Harvey, and I'm an Astra.
All right, family. Harvey, on behalf of the Laurel Mountain Highlands Unity Retreat, I'd like to thank you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. Our next speaker that will speak for us is Kyle. He's from Ohio, Step to Recovery, Group for Narcotics Anonymous, in Columbiana, and I give you Kyle.
I'm an addict named Kyle. I'm going to sit down. For whatever reason, the traditions tend to be a little less interesting As you can see, as people are scattering out of the room. I'm really good at that. Remember, don't leave before the miracle happens. These are the things I was told in the beginning. Along with the steps came the traditions. When I worked step 10, I had to work tradition 10. And subsequently all 12 of them. And the main reason was is because we were taught in the beginning to get involved in this thing like you got involved in your disease. And if studying a bunch of steps and traditions got me more dope, I would have been studying those things 24/7. We all know that. You know. So I did. I threw myself into this with a passion. You know, some of us come into rooms, we don't know what to do. Because we had found a bottom that we never imagined possible. And I had no other options. I had already experienced the three inevitables. Well, four, as was so nicely pointed out, because it used to be all four in the readings. The jails, institutions, dereliction, and death. Or degradation. Sorry, degradation and death. And I experienced them all. For that reason, I didn't know what else to do. I had already tried all the normal remedies that are out there with the psych wards in the hospitals and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, the psychiatrists and, you know, and I got a bunch of letters past my name, you know, diagnosing me as LMNOP. You know, it doesn't matter. You know. You know, well, right now it doesn't matter because I, you know, one of the things that having no opinion on outside issues, because we don't want to be drawn into the public controversy of having those outside issues, doesn't always apply in the rooms. You're allowed to have those opinions in the rooms, you know, and I have a lot of them, you know. I've been around for a few days in this program, and I've seen a lot of people come and go, and I've seen a lot of the people who seem to struggle, and those who seem to have it the easiest. You know, for whatever reason, the ones who seem to have it the easiest are the ones that have a great contact with a higher power, and the ones who aren't taking any kind of mind or body-altering substance. Isn't that what our literature says? You know, I was brought up that way in this program. That's the bottom line. You know, don't use no matter what. Doesn't matter what it is. You know, I can get hooked up on Tylenol. Because I'll tell you, with all the arthritis I have, a couple of Tylenol feel good. Well, four Tylenol feels twice as good. And I know because I've done that. You know, next thing you know, I'm eating 20, 30 of them a day, four, six at a pop. You know, and I'm wondering why I can't get a bigger dosage on each tablet. That way I can only have to take two. You know, you know. See, that's the thing about this. You know, my disease will rationalize me to where I'll be okay with telling you my opinions. It'll be perfectly okay. It don't matter if it hurts your feelings. I don't care. It's my opinion, and you have to know it. You know? And that's not always good. It really isn't. You know? Because I, at this point, right this second, I'm holding back a lot of my opinions. You know? I just barely touched on them a minute ago. Now, because of that rationalization, I can also come in here and tell you what political party I want you all to vote for. You know, and I could tell you all the, you know, why and all this kind of stuff, because I do. I research before I open my mouth now. It's another thing I learned in this program. Don't speak unless you have an idea what the hell you're talking about. Yeah. Took me a while to learn that one. Yeah. You know, but the biggest deal, though, is outside of here. When I leave here, I am not the poster child for this program. I learned that real early on. I was at work There was an individual that was riding the fence, and me being who I was in the beginning, you know, I'm going to save the world, like a lot of us do. You know, I found this great thing that everybody needs to know. And I got way too pushy with it, way too opinionated with it, and I was talking out my ass. And what I did is I had turned him to the point that I can remember sitting at lunch, and the window was open behind me in a lunchroom, and he was outside burning the joint with the rest of them. And I heard him say, if that's the way you end up when you go to those meetings, I will never fucking darken those doors. And that's when I understood. I am not the poster child. That's what anonymity truly is. Anonymity can protect my reputation to an extent. But the big reputation I need to save is NA's. Because I am nowhere near perfect. Even though I used to think I am, I'm slowly learning I'm not. And for me to be the example of recovery out there in the world is not good. Not at all. You know, I heard earlier, if thank God I can't get arrested for what goes on in my head. You know, I was at a meeting that's been around, I don't know, about 8-9 years now in the town I live in. And it was Easter, right before Easter there, and some of the church members were in the kitchen adjacent to the meeting room. They were making candy for Easter to sell, or I don't know what they do. You know, and as soon as our meeting started, that kitchen got dead silent. Like most humans, curiosity kicked in, and I'm envisioning them all with their ears glued on the wall, which I'm sure they didn't do. But they got quiet so that they could listen. Now, these are my neighbors. And my anonymity was broke, big time. And it's so obvious because the people who used to admire me for who I am today won't even wave at me anymore when I drive by. And I live way out in the country. I don't know how many of you know what country people are like. They wave at fucking everybody. Not me. When I drive by, they all turn and go about their business. Because now I'm labeled. Now, thank God I'm not doing anything wrong. Because that would be an example. See, that's what the kind of people are to go to those meetings. You know? That's the way the public perceives us. You know, for whatever reason, addicts don't have the best reputations. Granted, we bring it on ourselves. I know that. I was out there raping and pillaging, as I call it. You know, my favorite addiction still to this day is stealing. I just don't act out on it. For the longest time, I introduced myself as a thief with a drug problem. Because that was my favorite addiction. You know? And I don't act out on that either. That's the kind of stuff, especially now, because I've been thrown out there to where now a lot of people know I'm affiliated with it. And it scares the hell out of me. Because I have a lot of valid opinions. I stopped being politically involved because of that. Because I don't need my political opinions and my political agendas being associated with this program. So I had to stop a passion of mine. And I'm very passionate about politics. But I can't be now. Because I have this little label that's been thrown on me. You know, it happens. And I do it because this is what saved my life. And the last thing in the world I want to do is give it a bad reputation. I really want this to survive. I've seen it change in good and in bad. You know, it's for those of you who don't know me, I've been around since the early 80s. I got clean in 87. Okay? And I'll tell you that the program has changed drastically. For the good, for the worse, too. I'm not voicing any opinion either way. It still works. It's still the same steps. It's still the same traditions. It's far enough. And that's what it's about. You know, I have a passion for this. I really wish I could go out and publicize it. I wish I could be the poster child. Still to this day, I want to be that idiot I was when I first come in trying to save the world from addiction. But I've seen the repercussions of people like me. I've learned to think first. I've learned to play the tape through. You know, it's when I think, oh, how much better it would be if I was still involved in this or still involved in that. Because then I would be able to help bring recovery into these atmospheres. But I can't. Because that isn't what, obviously, is not what is in the plan for me. And I personally am not a real religious, oh, God's up there with his big finger tapping around making things happen or not. But whatever is causing this, whether it's coincidence, I'm not going to say. But all I know is that when things happen, they happen. I'm a solution seeker. That's another thing that I've learned in these rooms. I don't dwell on the problem. I look for a solution. There's got to be one. There's always one. What can I do to make it better? Simple things. The first one, don't pick up. Okay. Help other people. I got a big passion for that. You know, I've always said, Sister Mary Teresa, over there, wherever she was her passion was helping other people. Her motivation was the ultimate reward. Just like my motivation is, it makes me feel good when I help other people. It really does. That motivates me to do it again. Not always. Every now and then there's somebody that's not appreciative and I don't feel good. But yeah, welcome to humanity. Yeah. But I know because most of the time it does feel good. And that's what I chase. That feel good. But it's a positive feel good. I was told in the beginning, you're going to obsess for the rest of your life. You cannot stop it. Find something positive to obsess about. That doesn't mean stealing. That doesn't mean cars. And I say that because I got four of them and there's only two drivers in the house. Find something positive. I have a lot of talents that I've learned through the years. Physical talents that I've acquired. And I utilize them to help people who can't afford to pay professionals to do this kind of stuff. Because it makes me feel good. And it's a passion of mine. I like that particular trade, and I like helping people. That's two obsessions that are positive. This is the kind of stuff I learned early on. And at no time do I show up and say, the NA electrician is here to fix your... No, that isn't what it's about. Most everybody knows I quit using. And a lot of them remember me using. And a lot of them remember me for the first 5 years while I was still stealing clean. And going to jail for it. But at no time does the program ever enter into it. Because that isn't what it's about now. It isn't me out there trying to save and introduce the world to this program. Our public information is that avenue. I personally cannot be that. Because I am way too public. I'm way too loud. I'm way too opinionated. I'm way too obnoxious. I'm me. I've learned to really like me. Whether you do or not, oh well, your loss. But the bottom line is, I like me. And I learned that in these rooms. And I like this program that gave me that enough to respect it enough to not destroy it with my personality. You know, talking about traditions is difficult for a lot of people. You know, it's one of those things that if you weren't brought up old school like myself, you weren't really pounded it, you weren't really learned it. You know, we still pound the steps in, which is a good thing, because that will help you get better, find out who you are. It'll get you through the first seven, which will teach you who you are and introduce you to yourself. Then you get 8 and 9, where you're trying to clear up the wreckage of the present. 8, 9, and 10. The traditions are the ones that help you deal with the public. They help you get out and intertwine with earth people. Because earth people aren't like us. I can't walk up to most earth people and say, hey, I felt like robbing that tractor trailer. I felt like driving that tractor trailer that's idling in the driveway out to my yard so that I could strip it down for the scrap metal and the contents that are inside so that I could have it all fenced. Well, you can't. I can't share that with an earth person. Not that I don't think it, because I do. I just don't act out on it. Again, I've learned to think things through. What happens when I pull it in my driveway and somebody saw it? What happens when I'm halfway through the thing and the police show up? Or even funnier, what happens when the SWAT team shows up? And I stated, I got to share this one. My son-in-law decided to go back out. And in doing so, he smacked my daughter around, pulled a knife on her, and my granddaughter of 12 had to call 911. They showed up before, or right after he managed to get away. Now, he's out of state. I'm not even sure where he is, or I would know where he is because he'd be fertilizing my yard right now. But, hey, the attic still lives in me. I can't help it. A few days after that, or a week, whatever the hell it was, I wasn't home for this stunt. The SWAT team shows up. Handful of idiots my size in bulletproof vests. All running around my yard. I live in the country. So, I mean, you're not sneaking up on us anyway. You know? I live like this, you know. They come in with the big black Suburbans, and they all jump out, and there's a bunch of 240-50-pound idiots in bulletproof vests looking for a 110-pound, 6-foot kid. I don't know what they thought. Maybe they thought he had an arsenal of automatic weapons, or I don't know, maybe they thought he had a mortar. But he, but you never know what life's going to throw at you. And for some of us, I've come to realize that I don't know if it's the chosen few that I believe we all are, or whether some entities out there saying, hey, I'm not going to let you fuck up anymore. Karma, who knows? My name isn't Earl, but I'll throw it out there. But some of us just aren't any good at it anymore. If I do anything wrong, I get caught every time. I run stop signs. Boom. I get popped. You know? Perfect example. My wife was driving one of our cars with no front license plate. In Ohio, you got front and back. She drove it for a year and a half, maybe 2 years. I drove it 1 week and got pulled over. Maybe I've used up all my get out of jail frees. I don't know. But for that reason, I watch what I do now. I have to. Especially now, because my anonymity's been thrown out there. It's been broke. And I don't want a negative affiliation publicly affiliating me with this program. And it's just the way it is. I've learned to accept that kind of stuff in life. You know, because I'll tell you, I still believe if the world just did it my way, it would run so much smoother for me. Yeah. The hell with the rest of you. You know, but I realize that isn't a reality. You know, I'm not good at quoting the literature, but it says something about we can't change reality, but we can change our concept of it, or something of that nature. You know, like I said, I paraphrase. I am not a quoter. And because of those kind of writings that are in there, it's taught me how to live out there in the real world, how to intermix with earth people. And they're amazed when they find out that I used to do drugs, because that isn't what I am anymore. They're absolutely, you know, I have a union affiliation, and our business manager decided he wanted to have a recovery group just for us. You know, because after all, our addicts love to be special. You know, so this special group, yeah, we're different from the rest of you addicts. We're, yeah. And and he enables this because he is such an earth person. He doesn't understand addiction. So he gives us this room, and he gives us the coffee, and he gives us all this stuff to have this meeting. And he asked, is there anyone with 20 years or more that would like to be in charge of all this? Well, being who I am, I was one of the 15 that had approached him. And he couldn't believe it. He absolutely could not believe that I ever did drugs. I love that kind of shit. I really do. It's a shame that my neighbors don't realize it that way. That they still have that closed-minded attitude of once an addict, always an addict. You know, and I've seen it many other times that kind of stuff happens when anonymity is broken on the part of a person. I've seen a broker lose his entire business because he was in recovery. And you know how them are. You don't want to give your money to them. Remember Uncle Ned? He, yeah, blew every cent he ever had. You know? People are like that. You know, it's, I was asked to run for city council a year before my anonymity was broken. How ironic, huh? They asked me. I had 19 years clean, or 18 years clean. 18 years clean at that time. Something like that, I don't know. The date's all mixed. But, and I decided that it wasn't a good thing. Mainly because somebody's going to do a background check on my dumb ass. I guarantee it. And I got a felony record that'll fill this table. And I didn't want my reputation destroyed that I've worked very hard for. Now, that same group of people won't wave at me. I don't need that in any way, shape, or form to be associated with this program. You know, that would not be good. That's never good to have that kind of negativity associated with such a positive program. You know, and it's hard sometimes. It really is for me because I really do have a passion to get involved. But you got to take the good with the bad. You know, one of the things they say, keep coming back, it gets better. Well, when I first come around, they used to say, keep coming back. It'll get worse. Then it'll get better. Then it'll get worse. Then it'll get better. Then it'll get worse. And then it'll get better. I've been around long enough to see the roller coaster happen. And it's not this like it was in the beginning. It's more of a nice little roly fuck, you know. But it does. If life was always on top, you'd lose the concept of this is great. If it was always on the bottom, what the hell would I still be here for? But you really start to learn that when I see myself falling into the bottom and life's getting really sucky and just life on life's terms, it happens. Instead of dwelling on the fact that, oh, this is so damn miserable, what the hell did I get clean for like I used to do? Now, I know it's going to get better again. And that's what I'm looking for. What can I do to get that better to happen faster? Solutions. What's the solution to making it happen? Whether it's a step, whether it's a retreat, whether it's whatever. It doesn't matter. Learn these tools. There's a million of them out there, not just 12. There's a million tools you'll learn in these rooms. You know, I've filled a phone book with names and phone numbers. I never thought that possible. You know, when I first come around, you memorized your sponsor's phone number because you were dialing it. It wasn't flip open, push a name, push a button. No, it wasn't even in your pocket. It was on the wall or on the desk and had tethered to the wall. It was push button. It wasn't a dial. I was waiting for somebody to say something about a crank. But no. And I still know my sponsor's phone number because I dialed it by hand enough times. Yeah. And my sponsees had better know my phone number now. I had one that had to call another one of my sponsees to get my phone number because he lost his phone. Oh, hell. There's a lot of good shit that comes from these rooms. A lot of good friendships. People I would have never imagined. Never would I imagine being friends with some of you people. Seriously. If I was out there, oh, are you kidding me? I might have taken your shit. You know, but that's the closest we would have ever got. You know, it's... And one of my favorite stories about that kind of camaraderie, that kind of support, I was up in Michigan. And I had... My wallet was in my coat pocket. And I drove to the job site, and I was there too early, so I thought, hey, I saw a McDonald's down the street, I'll go get something to eat, cup of coffee, come back. And I'm standing beside my car making this decision, and the sun's coming up, and it's getting a little warm. I took my coat off, threw it on the roof of the car, milled around a little bit, and said, yeah, fuck it, I'm going. Got in the car, drove away. The thing I forgot was my coat was on the roof. My wallet in it. Now I had, I don't know, 10 bucks, 20 bucks in my pocket. So when I got to the McDonald's, I didn't realize it. When I got back to work and I went to sign in on the job, I didn't have my driver's license, which is, I work a power plant, so you have to have this kind of stuff. Luckily, this was before 9/11. So I managed to get hired in anyway, but I have no place to go after work. No motel, no plastic, less than 20 bucks in my pocket, and a gas tank that's almost empty. 4 hours from the house. What am I going to do? So I called my ex-wife, and she, because she was busy trying to relapse, told me that she's too busy to talk to me right now. Call back later. So now I have no way of going home, no way of getting money. You know, instead of, you know, hiring a hitman, I decided that I'll go to a meeting. It's what I've learned. When life throws shit at me, I go to the rooms and I share it with somebody. At that point, I shared what was going on. And I still have trouble understanding why this couple did this. But this couple come up to me and said, I could sleep on her couch till I get my first paycheck. They'll cash it for me and then I'll be okay from then on out. I was there for a week and a half. I mean, think about how crazy that is. I could have been Charles Manson. They don't know. All they know is I'm another recovering addict, and this is what we do for each other. That has absolutely nothing to do with the 10th tradition, but it's just how exciting this is. Stick around long enough to have stories like this. Shit's really going to happen. It's going to amaze you. It does me even to this day. You know, I can't give back what was given to me. So I just got to keep giving it. That's all. With that, I'm done. Thanks, Kyle.